coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. So much news, so little time. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the news? I know that many people are. Many people are feeling overwhelmed. You know, it's interesting to take a look at what's taking place. Could you, and I'm asking all of you, could you have predicted this, or did anyone see this coming? And I'm talking about this Wuhan Chinese coronavirus and global lockdown in incremental steps. Did you see it coming? And if you raise your hand and said, yeah, I saw it coming, I'd like to talk to you. In a interview room, I think. But the news, my goodness. President Trump announces United States closing the northern border to non-essential traffic. What about the southern border? Just saying. Obviously, the southern border, some interesting reports out of Brownsville where you know, people just, yeah, stroll on through. Threats back and forth. Well, the threats specifically by the Chinese communists, or the communist Chinese more appropriately. You know, it's really, they're threatening to boot the journalists. Anyone who dares to call this the Chinese coronavirus or Wuhan virus, or to indicate that they're in any way responsible for this. And of course, the fingers pointing back at the U.S. military. You know, whatever the cause. We're in the soup, I guess, right? What we're looking at. We're in the soup. And you know, people think, and I just want to stress this. People believe that this is going to be just a week or two week most temporary inconvenience, slowdown, shutdown. Folks, let me tell you, this is not like planning for a snowstorm or a blizzard. This was more like planning for a winter, a hard winter. That's my view. This is my assessment based on my investigation and my research with my conversations with people who are in the know. You know, they're connected to different government agencies. And what the government agencies, they don't have to say anything. What they're doing tells the story. So today we are here at this point in time, at this moment in time. I believe that it was either a planned event to get us here, and we are watching the incremental shutdown, the incremental takedown of not just the West, not just the United States, but of the entire globe. But to what end? Tomorrow night, to answer that question, perhaps tomorrow night, Tom Horn and Steve Quayle will both be on. If you go to HagmanReport.com, that's HagmanReport.com, you'll see an entry there. Is the deep state using the coronavirus to establish the Antichrist's final kingdom? It's a fair question for those Christian believers. For anyone who believes in the Christian Bible, that's an absolutely fair question. Because many people have said, look, you know, I just feel the little hairs on the back of my neck standing up. There's something wrong. And I devoted an hour to this yesterday. If you didn't catch that hour, it's up independently at our YouTube channel or HagmanReportLive.com in the popular segments, or you can even go to HagmanReport.com. We put it there as well, the first hour yesterday. And I want to thank Coach Dave Dobemeyer. Coach Dave Dubmar. Thank you. CoachDaveLive.com. Thank you for the kind words and for being a part, being on our side. You know what? We need you. We need you now more than ever. If you're not familiar with Coach Dave Dubmar, go to CoachDaveLive.com. Join the huddle every morning. I lurk. That's right. I lurk in the morning as I'm in my office, usually by a couple hours by then. I'm lurking in the office, listening to Coach Dave Live, the huddle. I would urge everyone to tune in if you're up at that time. And even if you're not, tune in. It's something. All right. So tomorrow night, just to be clear, Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. And if you, I would urge everyone to look at the graph. I'm not going to describe the graphic. Look at the graphic at HagmanReport.com. The graphic that's above the title is the deep state using coronavirus to establish Antichrist's final kingdom. Do so, please. Also, folks, Hagman Report store. It's open for business for as long as we can, right? Who knows? So, get your coffee. Don't get caught without coffee, and understand that the proceeds for the coffee, the gourmet coffee, all three blends, Detective's Choice, Revolution Blend, Patriot Blend, proceeds go to Vets for Child Rescue and Rust Is Dar's Shatter the Darkness teams. They're boots on the ground. So appreciate them. Appreciate all that they do. So yes, you can go to Costco or Wally World or wherever and buy coffee at, you know, much less. But this is gourmet coffee, number one. Number two, it comes from one of the best roasters on the planet. And thirdly, we try to get it to you within, you know, from roaster to your hands within three days, maybe four. That's how fresh it is. Rumor has it that some mail carriers have opened the box and actually sucked on some of the beans. I'm keeping the beans. I need the bean. That's right. It's interesting because earlier today, Eric the Tech was playing If I Could Turn Back Time. I'm not sure what he was getting at. I'm not sure if that was a statement. Now you know how this song gets stuck in your head, right? Well, there it is. But just speaking about turning back time, I know there are things we each look back on and think, how did I get that so wrong? Or how did I get that situation wrong? How did I call that wrong? It could be something as simple as wearing the wrong outfit. I mean, you name it. We do things wrong all the time, don't we? We're always going to get things wrong. It's just life. But there are also things that we can get right on the first try. And this is so important, like shopping for life insurance. Look, I was a captive agent once upon a time, a licensed life insurance agent. I know what life insurance is all about. And I could tell you this, Policy Genius is where it's at. And getting things right, that's where Policy Genius comes in. Folks, Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more per year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team, they're going to handle all the paperwork and the red tape all for free. And Policy Genius just doesn't make life insurance easy. They also help you find the right home and auto insurance and disability insurance. I like to say, if you care about it, you can insure it through Policy Genius. That's just me. So even if you look back on your bad dress days, your bad hair days, whatever you got so wrong, you'll never be distressed about life insurance with Policy Genius. In just a few minutes, you can find your best price and apply at policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com. As I said, we all get things wrong from time to time. At least we can get life insurance right with Policy Genius. Go to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com. You'll thank me later. All right. You know, the news of the day, the news of the week, the news of the year is the coronavirus COVID-19, or more appropriately, the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus? How's that affecting our constitutional liberties? How's that affecting our freedom? What are we seeing take place here in the United States, where the United States has a constitution? My guest, Dr. Richard Proctor, I love this guy. I really do. He's written a book, Saving the Constitution. And you know what? Let me toss this out. Let me toss an idea out to you. I had my wife's nephew here for a couple of days during the time the school was off. And he was actually studying, that's right, social studies. And you know what I did? I have a copy of a book called A Constitution, If You Can Keep It. And I said, I'm going to give you a new assignment. I did this. I'm serious. And I handed him the book by Dr. Richard Proctor, A Constitution, If You Can Keep It. And I said, I want you to do the first couple of chapters for me. I haven't seen the book since. And I'm serious. Actually, I do have it with me. But folks, if you're homeschooling your child right now, whether it's out of need or just because you're homeschooling him or her, I would urge everyone to get a copy of A Constitution, If You Can Keep It, because I believe that this is the way we can write things, assuming we have the time, and I believe that we do. I always believe that as long as there's life, there's chance for change. But A Constitution, If You Can Keep It, it's a book that you can use, you can give to your, you can use as a tool for homeschooling, you can give to your students, plural. And by the time they get done with it, an entirely new but accurate idea of the Constitution, understanding of the Constitution. With that, I want to bring Dr. Richard Proctor on, provisinstitute.com. That's provisinstitute.com. Dr. Proctor, thanks for joining me today.
Well, I'm glad to be here again. Yeah. Looking forward to today.
Well, yes, and everyone does. I'm telling you, we've had so many people comment and send questions and just say that they find your books, plural, just absolutely incredibly informative. So I'm glad that you're here. Now we're here today. It's a little bit different than, we'll say, when we first met. We've got seemingly some situations developing across the United States where, I don't know, our freedoms seem to be at risk, our liberty, our securities at risk. And that was perhaps one of the more prominent questions that I received. You know, how is what we're seeing play out? How does that fare with the Constitution? But I'll let you start anywhere you want. And again, Dr. Richard Proctor is my guest, provisinstitute.com. That's his website. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. So start wherever you'd like, sir.
Well, let's start with pretty much exactly where you what you just mentioned. Let's look at, wonder back to 9/11, 2002. Now that's 18 years ago. Now, 18 years ago, we had a catastrophe. Why it occurred, we don't know. Who did it, we don't know. But it did happen. That's what we do know. So it did happen, and they blamed it on Arabs, and then within 30 days, maybe even shorter than that, I mean, it was the 11th of September, by the 20th or 25th, I mean, we're talking weeks here, they had a bill on the table, Patriot Act, that included all of this homeland security and all of these things and all of these excuses and new people looking at the airports. Oh, we didn't have private companies anymore. Now the government looks at you at the airport. And it's still here. It's completely unconstitutional, and it's still here. It didn't go away. Now let's forward to where we are today. We have a situation, whether it's been done by the government, whether it's a hoax, whether it's whatever, it is here. We have the fear, the situation. It's here. Don't worry about why it's here. Just worry about the fact that it is here. You know, you just mentioned that President Trump just close the border to accept only essential travel, non-essential travel. What's the definition of non-essential? And what's the definition of essential? That's a government idea, too. But anyway, once you've done that, once you start, and the Florida governor has asked for state-to-state restrictions, once you have that, short order, they'll have little cabins or buildings or whatever set up at the state line for all the major roads and maybe even some of the minor roads. Once you have that, that problem or the situation will likely still be here in 20 years, even if the virus is not. These things are done. Since when does government ever back away from a program they've initiated? I mean, you know, everybody in the audience knows that there's taxes that were put on by a government, local, state, government, federal, that were for a purpose.
Yeah.
And amazingly, when the purpose goes away, the tax doesn't.
That's
nothing.
True.
Nothing the government ever does goes away. So if they get a toe in the idea of border restriction, whether it be state, whether it be country, whether it be city, other than defending the country because of an invasion, other than that. But this is just a disease, just a disease. Okay? If they get to that point, we will be saddled with it forever. So the question is, how do we stop it? How do we stop it? Well, I tell you guys, I'm going to say it. This book, Saving the Constitution, the conclusion has a five-step process of how to stop this stuff. And that's crucial. I mean, this is a guideline to how to get our states safe, how to get our areas safe, how to get our states, even our state legislatures, back under our control. I mean, the people control. The people. The people are in charge here. That's the rule. Everything that happens, the people should be profiting by, should be giving permission to occur. And if the people aren't giving permission, then government shouldn't be doing it. And the Declaration of Independence was very clear. If we lose our inherent inalienable rights, then we should alter or abolish the government.
Okay. Now, I don't know what the demographics are, what the figures are, but I mean, I clearly remember 9/11, 2001. I clearly remember the Patriot Act. And actually, I was...
Oh, one instead of two. Was it one instead of two?
Yeah.
What fun.
but you know... I look now. I would suspect that most people who are alive today remember 9/11 as well. And now we're seeing this. You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, or fool me once, whatever that is. Shame on you, twice,
yeah.
Shame on me. All right. Now, do you believe with what we're facing right now? And I would prefer, by the way, of having an enemy, not a virus, not something that's airborne and we can't really see or detect, but I would prefer to have an enemy that I could shoot, stab, bludgeon, or otherwise, you know, neutralize in my way, as opposed to having something like this that, you know, but regardless of whatever it is, do we have time and do we have the will to change things back and to not fall into that 9/11, save me, help me mindset?
Are you asking me if I believe it, or are you asking everybody in the audience?
I'm asking you.
Okay, me. Okay, I will. Here's my thought. Yes, I believe we have time. I don't believe this is a thing that will go away. What won't go away is the things that are put in place because of it. So we have time. We have, all of us have geographical boundaries called states. All of us do. Those are very close to us. We have time if we... We're consciously, as a people, do it. Rise up and elect people you know are going to be honest in office. And I define one of the things that decides somebody's not honest as, he speaks one way to one group and another way to another. He's not honest, don't elect him. I mean, there's a measurement. it's possible to get honest people there. And if we got those people there, then those people could begin to turn this around for the state that did it, for the people who did it. You couldn't, if someone doing something in Iowa can't turn it around for the people in Idaho, but the people in Idaho can do it. I mean, it can be done by the people. And if we don't get going and doing, then we're just sitting back and relaxing, and we'll be stuck with this stuff. The Revolutionary War was won by about 3% of the population. The other 97% took advantage of it, but only 3% were actually there. Okay, now, if 3% can do that, then 3% of a state can do it too, if they just would get together and do it. Now, I also prescribed an idea, a way to find honest people, and that's in the Constitution Party. And it's in all the states, the Constitution Party.
Right.
And that group of people is mostly, notice I didn't say always, mostly very honest. And that's a starting point to find honest people. We've got to find honest people, whatever means you use to do it. But don't use what the politician says to determine what he's going to do. Did I just say that? What he says and what he does are different. And he never does what he says if he can get more mileage for himself out of what he does.
That's right.
How do you like that new word?
I like it. I think it's apropos. Yes.
Apropos, right. Well, you know, I don't know any words over two syllables, so do's fits really well. Anyway. Anyway, the whole idea of the we the people is to do something about it. We, you know, the people in the Revolutionary Wartime actually read the newspaper, and in those days it was not biased. Well, today, what we need to do is just, we need to read books that we know are not biased. That's what we've got to do.
That's true.
That's the key. There are books that you know are not biased. You've got to read those books. There's a lot of them being put out by good authors today. They're very good authors, and they write, and the information, they're writing what they believe, and that's fair. I don't mind that. But they're writing things that teach us things that are very important, and they're in your political bookstores. The New American, it's full of good stuff. John Birch Society has a bookstore that's full of good things, and we discount those. They're there.
Yep.
They've been there for years.
Yeah, yeah. And I look at us Americans, we as Americans, and even me, you know, as an American, you get complacent. You get kind of fat and sassy. You just kind of sit back and you develop this routine, and it's a level of comfort that, you know, you're in a comfort zone and you really don't want to necessarily get out of that comfort zone to make any changes. And when you do, man, there are ample number of people to slap you down. But we need to be doers. Anyway, we need to be doers. You know, we need to take this and we need to, I think we need the people right now to rise up and say, you know what you did to us post 9/11 and the liberties that you took away in the name of securities, you're not going to do that. Now, you know, doctor, I understand the need for, the health issue aspect of this. I kind of understand that, assuming, of course, we're being told the truth and assuming it's as bad as what it is. So, okay. So, but is it the government's, is it the United States, is it the federal government's role to protect its citizens from this biological threat?
Well, that's a good question, because you see, they do have a role to defend the nation and look after the people, providing them with an environment that they can prosper in. They do not have a role to do the Obamacare. They do not have a role to try to replace insurance and tell us where we can have what we can't have. They do not have a role there.
True.
They do have a role in helping us know what's true, and that's very difficult for them to do. It's very hard for government to ever tell you what's true.
Sadly.
Boy, I've been saying some things today I might get in trouble for. But it's true. These the government is the government is force, King. We can't do anything else. Government is force, and it's depending on whether how the government uses that force. If it's using that force to repel an enemy that you described, that you can see, excellent. But it should also be using its force to destroy rather than encourage an enemy that's very quiet and insidious. And now I'm talking about the shadow government, the people who have the money that buy the Congress, buy the president, buy everybody.
Yeah.
These people are insidious to destroy our country. I mean, the guy's name was Edward Mandel.
Yep.
House.
Yep.
But you know what? He wasn't a colonel. He just assumed that title, and everybody liked it, so they use it. But the point is, he was a person who wanted to destroy our government. And he set up a program in a book called the Drew Administrator, whatever that title is. Put in Drew and Administrator, you'll get it. But that book is very, very short. I mean, it's just a couple hundred pages long. It's not long, but it's an outline. It's how do we destroy the United States? And guess what? They're using it as a Bible. They're following it. Things are still happening today that were part of that. Rothschild said in his day, if I can get the economy and the banking system, I've got the people, I've got the government. And he's shown that it works. So we got to have a banking system that's outside of the Rothschild. I just use that name as an international banking group. We've got to have a banking organization outside of that group. And until we, the people, demand that, it's not going to happen. And a banking organization outside of that group can go back doing banking like it was done in the olden days. Now, I don't mean printing money. I mean a banking system that deals for people, not with people.
That's true.
I mean, today, you want to get a loan today, you go to your local credit union, and you apply for it, and they send it off to the corporation. You go to a bank, and they send it off to the corporation. I mean, I'm a member of the Federal Credit Union. I'm a member of that. And, you know, when I ask for a loan, they send it to San Antonio to decide. Where's that to helping people?
Yeah.
How can people handle that kind of stuff? We've got to have a system that is local, that works with the people, community, a community bank that works outside of the Federal Reserve.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but reading so much and seeing so many people speculating on what we're seeing today. I don't know how, and maybe you can tie this together. I'm just going to toss this out. The entire world seems to be shutting down economically, the business side of things. Okay. So people are saying, wow, this could be like an economic reset, or we could be headed for, you know, fill in the blank. I mean, the speculation is without bounds. So, I don't know. Could we be witnessing some sort of, at least the United States or a reset, a monetary reset in the United States, or even a global monetary reset, or, you know, a fairer system, or is that too much to ask?
Not the fair won't be the right word, but a new system. Yeah, we could be heading for that. Yes, we could. They've had special drawing rights. Okay. That's an international term talking about an international banking system. Now, I don't mean something that we're just associated with. I mean something that's controlling us. Did you know, do the folks in the audience know that in about 2004 or 5 in that neighborhood, the North American Union began to bring its heads, began to surface, and that had a new currency called the Amero?
Oh, yes. I you know what? Sad to say, I forgot about that. We talked about that. I wrote about that, the Amero.
Yes.
And what happened?
It was a real currency, but people in the internet got a hold of it and ridiculed it, talked about it, pushed it out, and it disappeared. But it's not off the books. It just disappeared. It's all temp- office. Bush went down to get the, during that period, Bush Jr. went down to South America to get them to join in a big region of the Americas, and they booed him and had sent him home. Mm-hmm. We didn't send him home in our country. They started the partnership between Mexico and the United States and Canada.
That's right.
That's still going, guys. That's not gone. That's still going. That's not gone. They just quiet and move to another direction. Just like the rail ID. That came in about the 2006 and 2007. Wisconsin said, we ain't going to do this. I think Michigan, too. Anyway, some states in the north said, we're not going to do this. Well, the deadline's coming. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Well, we'll give you a pass. It's okay. You don't have to do it right now. We didn't ask for a pass. We're not going to do it. And it went away because the states rebelled. It's back. It's back. Go look at next time you're in an airline queue waiting to get through the security system that the government's established. Okay. Anyway, you're going to see a sign that says you got to have a star or a dot or something on your driver's license or it's not eligible. That's rail ID coming back at us. It's coming back around, and they're putting a date sometime next year. If you don't have that star, you can't use your driver's license as identification to get on a plane.
I refused. Pennsylvania has not required me or required its citizens to sign up they haven't implemented the Real ID Act in Pennsylvania, so I don't have a Real ID driver's license. And, you know, frankly, I'm going to do all I can to refuse to get one. I don't know how far that'll take me or how far I'll get. But
just ask this question of yourself. Who controls who gets on the plane? The ticket counter? Well, Delta Airlines? Who controls who gets on the plane?
In theory, and I'm asking you, it's up to the airline, and the airline employs the captain. The captain is the boss of that plane, so wouldn't it be up to the airline?
Well, the airline will decide who can buy tickets, yes. But who controls who gets on the plane? The federal government with their TSA group.
Mm, true.
And if you can't get on the plane if they don't let you. It's the federal government. Now, I'm not talking about a million people list that you can't fly, you can't fly list. I'm talking about they're just standing in line and they say, well, you've got stuff here we think is not, this is dangerous. You can't get on it.
Mm.
We're going to give you a scan. We think you've got metal. You can't get on it. Now, they haven't done that completely yet, but the gold star, you don't have a proper driver's license. You can't get on it. So, Doug, it could turn out that the federal government tells you can't get on the plane, even though you've bought tickets. And even though the airline says, sure, you can, because the federal government controls the entry point.
All right. So I'm looking at my Constitution here. It's funny. I don't see anything in the Constitution that prevents me from domestic travel.
No, and you won't find it. But they won't let you on a plane. You have to drive your car.
Hmm. Pretty soon.
Soon they won't let you on a train either.
Yep.
And a bus.
Okay.
And when it's just the federal government slowly encroaches on our lives. Let me give you an illustration of an item that happened to me personally. Okay, now this is a while ago. I was an artist. Was is a correct term because I don't do things forever. But at one time in my life, I was an artist doing pictures that hung on the wall. Okay, now here we go. I had oil paintings. Oil paints.
Right.
And I took the oil paints with me because I was going to do some painting while I was on this trip. I got through the screeners at Salt Lake. But when I got to the screeners at the next place, wherever it was, I don't remember, it doesn't matter, they said, no, this is oil. It's flammable. I said, you can't light this with a blowtorch. It's flammable. You can't get on the plane. And they took away my art supplies.
That's an expensive, I got to tell you, I dabble. Now, that's an expensive takeaway there.
Yes, it was. And they did it. And if I insisted on they couldn't do it, they wouldn't let me on the plane. You see? That's how the federal government works. So, yes, you can get all the permissions you want from the airline. And the airline presumably controls that testing that goes out of the airport, the screening and all of that. But in fact, it's federal people that do it now, all controlled by the Homeland Security.
Of course.
So your right to travel can be taken away just because they don't like what you're wearing.
Right. And I think we've seen that before, with, you know, pro MAGA hat or pro Trump.
Yes, right.
You know, so we have seen that before. And yeah, again, unconstitutional. It's just wrong. I mean, multiple levels of wrong.
Yes, but you see, it's nice for us to say unconstitutional, but when you get in that TSA guy, you say it's unconstitutional, he's going to say, I don't care,
yeah.
But this is the rule. And that's the sentence. I don't care. This is the rule.
And, okay, so, and this is my, I've always said this, because we had talked, it was with InfoWars, and we had done this national day of, you know, of boycott, essentially. You know, we don't, we're not going to listen to what the TSA has to say. In other words, this a couple of years ago. One person, you get caught, one person, you know, making a ruckus at the TSA line. Well, you know, it's to jail for you. A handful of people, yeah, you know what? It'll be bad, but maybe the press will be called and, you know, there'll be a scene, okay? But if everyone refused to comply with TSA regulations, in terms of, you know, the nonsensical TSA regulations, then what would they do? You know, we have them outnumbered. The freedom-loving patriots of America have these tyrants outnumbered, yet we were doing nothing. And
that's exactly how to stop it. You just outlined exactly how to stop it. If everybody in that line said, we will not concur, and we are getting on our plane because we bought our tickets. Now, they have guns, remember. Those TSA guys have guns. You got to remember what you got to face.
Little Barney with the gun. Yeah. However, I do believe, you know, it's to me, they can't shoot you all. They can't shoot all.
No,
of
they
us.
Can't. And, no, but the guys who get shot are in trouble.
Yeah. Okay. We take one for the team.
Way to go. I agree with you, by the way, Doug, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. If we all stood up and said, no, we're not going to do this. Then we can change everything. We can change.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. If we just would all stand up and say, we're not going to do this. The Declaration of Independence is the founding document, and we're not going to do it. Now, nobody can call that, well, they can, but nobody should call that, they're going to call it patriotism, and that's bad today. You stand there and say, the Declaration of Independence says I can do this, and I'm going to. You can't take away my inherent rights.
Right.
Well, if everybody did that, there would be a civil war. That would be. And the tyrant would go away.
And if I recall correctly, and I sent you this, I think, this morning, one of the listeners, I don't recall who it was, had asked the question about, you know, if you personally, given the environment that we see today, if you see in our future a civil war brewing here, and again, I apologize to the listener who sent the question, but, you know, are we just going to roll over and take this, whatever they throw at us? I mean, what's your sense?
By the way, that was Stephanie Woodward that sent that. And by the way, she should have her book because I send it to her. But anyway, to answer your question, do I see a civil war coming? Yes, I do. When the people of the United States finally decide that they've had enough. How vicious, how bad will it be? That I don't know. But I do see it. We almost had one start down in Arizona when our friend down there, I wish I could remember all the things I want to remember when I want to remember them. But Bundy, when our guy down in Bundy, when he was saying, this is my land, get off it, they brought guns and shot his cattle. And so the guys from North Dakota, from those militias, came down and they said, he can have his land. And there was almost a civil war started there. No shots were fired back and forth at people. Lines were drawn, but it didn't happen, but it could have.
But it took that group of men, and women, yes, some women, to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to take this crap.
Yes, that's right. That's what it took.
And this is the way I see
Bundy
it.
Bundy still has his land, by the way. Bundy still has his land.
And thank God for that group of people who said, no, we're not going to do this. And I'm amazed, by the way, at some of the reaction of some of the Christian conservative base saying, well, that was a lawless action. Just shut up. No, it was not, you know. Electrons have been inconvenienced by these blogs, by these people who believe they're so correct. And I'm sorry I'm going off on a tangent here, but it really frosts my cake to see this happen. Yeah, we have to get back. We have to get our country back. And I just have a feeling whatever we're seeing today, whatever we're seeing right now with whatever this is, and I don't know what it is, but it's something. I see some battle lines being drawn here right now as we speak.
Maybe we'll have
some time, or maybe we'll have another chance. I don't know, but boy, I'll tell you what, you know, guys and women. Well, guys, come on, guys. It's
a generic term.
Yeah.
They just made it non-generic.
That's
it's a generic
right.
term.
Right. But, you know, we need to get off of our collective, you know, what's and really say, hey, these are our founding documents. You guys have gone so far astray from these that, it's shameful, and we're not going to let this happen, for the sake of, not just for our sake, but for our kids and our grandkids.
Yes, that's right. Because our grandkids will have absolutely nothing. They'll be in slave camps.
Yeah, exactly.
If we don't stop this, they'll have absolutely nothing.
Well,
we're lucky. We're born now, but the next generation, I mean the next one, my great grandkids, that group of people, they're going to be facing things if we don't fix. They're going to be facing them, and blood will flow.
And you know,
that's the only way.
Yeah, and that always concerns me. I wonder how my grandchildren, if they walk past my grave, assuming I have one, meaning, you know, dust in the wind or whatever. Yeah, but will they spit on my grave, or will they say, hey, Grandpa was a good guy. He fought for me. And, so I always worry about that, or not worry, but I'm always thinking about that.
Well, there's not very many of us that are trying to awake the population to do something. I would hope that your grandkids and my grandkids would say, well, he tried.
Right.
I would at least hope that.
Regardless of the outcome. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
The work is up to us. The results, I believe, are up to God. But the work is up to
absolutely.
Us. You know?
Yes, but he does. He helps us when we need help and when we want help. He does have an agenda, of course. But if we don't cooperate with his agenda, he's not going to help us.
That's right. That's right.
Think about that for a minute. He doesn't help people that don't keep his commandments, does he?
No.
Okay, now, his commandments are in the Declaration of Independence, inherent rights, God-given rights, creator's rights. Those are they. And if we, knowing those things, say, well, we don't care, don't you think maybe we might be penalized a tad individually by God in his wisdom because we, throughout his direction?
Has anyone accused you of calling the United States a theocracy based on what you just said?
No one has accused me of doing that, but we should be.
No,
we shouldn't be a theocracy. Well, we should. The only thing wrong with a theocracy is people take it to, it becomes their religion controlling the world.
Yeah.
A proper theocracy does not control it. It just goes by proper biblical law.
There you go. That's what I meant. Yes.
Yeah, now biblical law, hey, that's fine. A theocracy under biblical law is fine. But a theocracy under a particular religion is not fine.
Amen to that. That's to clarify, folks, so don't send me emails. I agree on that. The biblical principles, which really are apparent in the Declaration of Independence, as you mentioned, and
yes,
are brought forth within the Constitution. Yeah, I believe that we have our country without fail. I mean, without any argument, was based on biblical principles. Period.
Absolutely. Those men, those people who wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were Christian brethren fighting to get God's law in place.
And I want to remind people, because I think if not the last time you were with me, but the time before that, you talked about a book called Jefferson Lies. And the title was a little bit misleading, you know?
I wouldn't read the book. I wouldn't read the book until I discovered what was in it.
That's right. That's right. Lies about Jefferson and about the deist, the whole deist argument in part, I believe, is what we had discussed, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
The writers, you remember, the winner always writes the history. I mean, that's a true statement. But now we're having the losers writing the history because they're changing the history that exists, that existed. Those people were not deists. They were not. They were Christian brethren. They believed in the Bible. The Bible was used extensively in the creation of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Extensively. Amen. These men knew what they were doing. They were guided by inspiration. Benjamin Franklin said, you know, if a sparrow will fall without God's, without God's attention, then the nation won't rise without God's attention. And that's when they began having prayer at their meetings.
And there it is. That's right. And look where we are today, you know, extending from that. And I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I think a lot of Coach Dave Dobmeier from Coach Dave Live. He's a guy that if there's a hurricane, there's boots on, you know, he's got boots on the ground. If there's a, I mean, whatever.
Yes, he is. He's a fine person.
I got to tell you something. You know, he's always telling me reminding me that you know, we can prevail. We just have to show up. We got to get skin in the game and play the game and show up, and, you know, we can prevail. So anyway, I wanted to give him a hat tip there, because he really does a lot for our country. And I think we need that.
I've used some of his articles in my books.
Okay.
I go with the coach all the time. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, so here we are. I don't know what, if there would be a day number to this, but here we are a couple of weeks into this coronavirus threat to, humanity. And, we're seeing freedoms eroded. We're seeing, shutdowns. But now, so far, just to be clear, so far, these have been, for the most part, done by state and local authority figures, right?
Yes, for the most part, that's right. Federal government started to get involved.
Okay. But now, constitutionally speaking, if I was the governor of a state now, and I'm looking after my state, and I got to close down like the schools, for example, just one example, I'm within my, mm-hmm. my constitutional right to do that, right? I mean, the Constitution is okay with
Wait
that.
Wait a minute. The Constitution's a federal document. It doesn't have a thing to do with what the state does.
But doesn't it have something to say over the governors?
Yes, they're supposed to swear allegiance to the federal Constitution.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. In that vein, they're absolutely bound by it. Yes.
Okay.
But at the same time, they are a state of their own, and if the Constitution is violated, then they have a right to stand up against it.
Okay. Now, let me give you a real-life example. In Champaign, Illinois, a mayor of Champaign, Illinois, this female, decides to enact her emergency powers, and in so doing, now all of a sudden, you can't... guns are outlawed. You know, the purchase of guns are outlawed and stuff. Travel restrictions are in place. I mean, there's a whole bunch of.
There's 27 items. Kevin sent it to me.
Okay.
Yes, and I tried to answer him back, but the email I sent it on didn't go through. But anyway, yes, I read that same thing. He sent it to me.
Now, how does that play into the larger scheme of things? If it does,
she is violated. She has violated the Declaration of Independence rights. Okay? Now you say, I didn't say Constitution rights. I said the Declaration of Independence rights. She has violated them. The people in that city should stand up and say, you have no right to do this. I have inherent rights and liberties, and we're going to abide by those. And if you're not going to do it, we're going to have a recall election and get rid of you.
And then she'd say, but I'm doing it for the good of the people, for you, because I don't want you to get sick.
Well, I'm glad you are caring about me, but you care about me by enforcing my liberties, not by restricting them.
Okay.
Do you realize she extended her rules to 2 miles beyond her city limits?
Yeah, I saw that, and I don't even know how that works. How does that work?
It doesn't.
I didn't
it
think
so. It doesn't work.
Thank you.
It doesn't work. So. That's like the United States deciding it wants the next 100 miles of Mexico and Canada.
Yeah.
We've decided that. That's ours. We're going to enforce it.
Well, I said that makes it right. I said it, and that's it, period. I'm allowed. Yeah, man. Boy, somebody needs to spank her.
Yes.
I'm going to get in trouble for saying that now.
Yeah. You and I are both going to be in trouble today.
That's
somewhere.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. All right. But yeah, okay. So, we're living in fascinating times. Folks, my guest is Dr. Richard Proctor. I'm going to tell you something. If you have a child who's not attending school, which is apparently everybody, I don't know. Here's what I'd like you to do. Okay. Now, I'm sure the books are limited, but here's what I want you to do.
I can always get more. Okay. I can get more in a couple of weeks. I can have hundreds of thousands of them. Okay. Go ahead.
Folks, do yourself a favor. For the cost of less than the cost of a meal at a restaurant, you can buy a Constitution if you can keep it. By Dr. Richard Proctor. Go to provostinstitute.com. And there on the menu, you find the books. Order this book and give it to your child at home, your student at home. And it reads like a textbook. I mean, it's a textbook. And by the way, I love the binding because it's a spiral bound. You can lay it flat and answer the questions. But do it. Do it. And you're going to be surprised at the knowledge. Your student at home is going to be more knowledgeable about the Constitution than you will be if you don't read it as well. So again, I'm so in favor of this, a Constitution if you can keep it.
I'm a homeschooler. I'm not a homeschooler. I don't have any youth at home, but I do teach. I have taught, and I do teach homeschooling. If they ask me to come, I'll teach. I have taught for a full year. I taught Constitution and economics at a group of students down in Spanish Fork here in Utah. Down in Spanish Fork, there were about 30 students when we started. And we, every other week, I was there teaching Constitution or economics to that homeschooling group. And it was from those discussions that I built these two books.
It's amazing when you think about it. That's how it came about.
Yes. They asked me to teach it. I went. There were no books, so I wrote these. But I used the lectures and the discussions that I had with those youth to do it.
Well, just from what I saw with my wife's nephew, okay, just what I saw with him, and when I gave, and I'm being really honest and serious about this, when I gave him the book, and he started reading it, I mean, it was tough to get it back from him. And he's actually coming over for the weekend, and he asked me if I was going to still have the book. And I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? Sell it? But yes, it's
buy him one. That's what you're supposed to do. So it's buy him one. What's going on here? Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, you're killing me, man. No, I'm thinking about purchasing a lot. Meaning a lot of books, of these books, because I think, just the knowledge that we could give our offspring, the children that we have interactions with, I can guarantee you this country will be better off. Just in going through that book, it's just an amazing work. And, you know, I love books, and people accuse me, well, you sell books. But you know what? This is so important because our country is at stake. The future of our country is at stake. Their lives are at stake. Their freedoms are at stake. Do I need to say any more? I think not. So you've
right.
done a good
I mean,
job.
I mean, I wrote it, and I do get benefit when it sells. But, you know, if I gave it away for free, no one would give it any value.
There it is. That's right.
So I don't charge for shipping. I just want people to have it. But I want them to put a little skin in the game, and I didn't ask for a mortgage on the house.
And you know, I've got to say something to that point. Okay, Dr. Proctor sent me a box of books, and I'm thinking, when I picked it up, well, my wife couldn't pick it up. She's like, I can't pick this book up, or this box up. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, those are the books. So I left it in the carry, and the shipping alone, you know, I don't know which, thank you for not the charging shipping. I mean, that's an amazing savings by itself. So, I would urge everyone to take advantage of this as we approach the top of the hour. Dr. Proctor, I appreciate your time with us. We're talking with Dr. Richard Proctor. His website, provisinstitute.com. That's provisinstitute.com. Yes, it'll be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. And I've got to tell you something. Go through his website. The amount of knowledge and information there is critical. The book for your student, captive student right now, I suspect, A Constitution If You Can Keep It. And then for you, Saving the Constitution, after you read the other one, Saving the Constitution, and the other books as well. The Liberty Will It Survive series is just tremendous. Again, Dr. Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. We'll be right back after this. Stay right where you're at.
Listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced no matter how hard you try. That's right, Myrtle. Don't be trying. Myrtle, I'm watching. I'm watching you, Myrtle. Yeah, I can have fun with that. Folks, two websites, HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com, as well as HagmanReport.com. By the way, tomorrow night with me is going to be Steve Quayle, as well as Tom Horn, best-selling author Tom Horn. And Tom Horn's going to be talking about Shadowland, a new book out. As well as, you know, asking the question, are we looking at the formation, perhaps the structure, the infrastructure today with all the current events, the coronavirus, the lockdowns, are we looking at some sort of structure for the Antichrist? And that's, to me, that's a legitimate question to ask. So that's tomorrow night. Make sure you tune in, tell your friends about it, HagmanReportLive.com. And that's at 7 p.m. Eastern time, of course, as always. Before I get back to my guest, I'm going to just tell people, you know, we've talked about many things on this program, including 5G, frequency, my goodness, so much about frequency. And you know, my good friend Michael Terrell has been on this program a number of times. Michael Terrell's a owner and founder of Whole Tones, wholetones.com. You know, there's two things here that I want to just briefly tell you about. Sleep. Look, we all need it. And especially now, especially when we're stressed, you need sleep. And 70% of Americans are suffering from lack of sleep. And are you one of us? I suspect you are, based on the emails I'm getting at different times of the night. You know, it's, whether it's a difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep or tossing and turning all night, so you wake up feeling like you've been through a blender, you know, almost no one is immune. So I would urge everyone to get Whole Tones to sleep. It's guaranteed to help you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer, wake up refreshed. And then let's not forget about well, lady, my lady, the studio dog, my best furry friend. She's with me all the time. In fact, laying right next to my feet as we speak, as I speak, looking at me now, hearing her name. But she falls asleep to Whole Tones for Dogs. And Michael sold over 200,000 CDs of Whole Tones for Dogs, even placing number one on the Billboard charts. It's kind of funny. I call him up, you know, and I say, hey, Michael, how you doing? And or I call him up and somebody answers the phone. I said, is Michael there? No, he's not here. Well, who might this be? Oh, and Elton John. I'm serious. Maybe not Elton John, but you get the idea, okay? The guy's connected. And he's a good guy. And the product is second to none. WholeTones.com. Of course, I was, you know, yeah, I was overstating the issue. But folks, look, real quick, Pet Lifestyles Magazine called Whole Tones for Pets a must-buy for must-buy pet innovation of the year for 2020. The human version. It's on Glam Magazine. It's everywhere. So go to WholeTones.com. Select both, and you will be happy you did. That's WholeTones.com, WholeTones.com. I want to bring it back to at some point to talk more about frequency, because I got some questions about what's going on with the resonance of things, you know. Just so anyway, WholeTones.com, WholeTones.com. All right, my guest is Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, ProvisInstitute.com. He's the author of numerous books, including and especially A Constitution If You Can Keep It. That's, if you've got a child, a captive child now at home, and I suspect you do, please do me one favor. Give your student this book. Buy it for your student, your child, your nephew, your niece, your, I don't care, your grandchild, because after student reads it and you read it, you won't believe the knowledge that will be imparted. What a work of art by Dr. Proctor. And for yourself, while you're at it, Saving the Constitution, equally informative. But A Constitution If You Can Keep It is really meant as a study guide. It's meant like a textbook. That's the best way I could describe it. So anyway, great book. But seriously, now's the time. Now is the time. Right today, because you don't know if, what's to say shipping might stop tomorrow? I don't know.
So, hey, Mike.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Proctor, I mean, I'm concerned about things, and I'm not being overly dramatic. I'm concerned about where things are going here, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. And are we losing the tools that we have to fight? Are they being pruned away from us? You know, through edict. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, I'm looking at the headlines. I mean, my goodness, travel restrictions pretty soon. I don't know. Help me understand what I'm seeing here, what we're all seeing here, if you can.
Me? Are you talking to me again?
No, I'm talking to you. I need your help.
Okay, good.
No, I need
sometimes,
your help.
Sometimes I'm not sure if you're talking to the audience in which you're talking to me, but I'm ready. Travel restrictions. Now think for a moment, and I've thought about this already. You may not be able to send mail. It goes on the airplanes. It doesn't travel by truck anymore. It goes by airline. The mail, you can't. I mean, I have to distribute these by mail. My carrier pigeon system doesn't work well. And if I can't get the book out, if you can't get the things you need or want because of an edict from government, wow. Won't that'll, we're in jeopardy. We're in jeopardy.
Well, quite frankly, that would suck, number one. I mean, I don't mean to be crass and crude, but seriously, I mean, think about that. And can you, by the way, can you imagine, and I'm sure you can, life before Amazon, right? We had brick and mortar stores. We have brick and mortar stores, but people have relied on this Amazon Prime. Oh, get it the next day. Even for food.
Yes. That's right.
The ultimate control, by the way.
Remember, the word will read, when they put the edict out, the word will say unnecessary. Unnecessary airline travel. Unnecessary. Why, Trump's already said to the government workers, don't go on any unnecessary travel. I thought they didn't do that to begin with. I would have thought the only travel that the government workers on the taxpayer dime would be necessary. So there shouldn't be any change.
That's true. Yeah, very true. You don't have to go to the Cayman Islands to discuss domestic policies, you know.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, my goodness.
We should only have necessary travel. Well, that's what it will say. This is different now because this is a consumer thing. The mail, if they decide to restrict air travel, that will mean restricting planes. That will mean that the only planes that will go will be those that carry essential mail. And I don't know what their definition of essential would be. To me, essential is what I buy from Amazon. I don't know whether or not that won't be essential. To me, essential is my sending my Christmas cards to my family or birthday cards or get well cards.
Sure.
That won't be essential. What's essential going to be? It'll be what the government wants it to be.
Tax bills. Definitely tax bills. And, you know, speaking of taxes, but very true. Who decides? Is President Trump, is he engaged right now in an overreach under the color of attempting to, you know, keep us safe?
Remember, no president acts by himself. It's never happened since the days of Washington. He's got a staff around him, and he depends on the staff to give him the right information. All corporations work that way. It depends on the staff. So the staff gives him advice and counseling, and attorneys have a way with words. They can make the worst thing sound glowing. And they have a way with words. And so he has surrounded himself with people to give him advice. Maybe I wouldn't have chosen the ones he did. Maybe he shouldn't have chosen them, but he did. That's where they are. So since they are there, they're going to give him the advice that they think is most important. To who? To them. They're not giving them advice that's most important to us. They're giving them the advice that's most important to that person that's talking. You must always remember that these kinds of things are all generated by individuals who have agendas. Sure, I have an agenda, too. I want everybody to have this book. They need it. It absolutely must be in their homes. That's an agenda. Now, I happen to believe in that agenda. That agenda is very, very important. Well, so does the guy who's giving Trump his counsel. He's got an agenda, too. We just hope his agenda is constitutional, but it may or may not be.
Mm-hmm.
So he's advised to do things, and all these advisors say to do it, and okay, well, I wasn't sure about it, but I guess we should. And we do it. And it's done by executive order, which, by the way, was established unconstitutionally in the 1870 bill about corporations.
Okay.
That's where executive orders came from.
And if I remember correctly, and at some point we can get to this, where the United States is a corporation, or is that not what you're talking about?
I wasn't bringing it up. I was just pointing it out.
Okay.
But we can talk about it. Yes, you sent me a list of the questions that I have here in front of me. I'm more than willing to chat about that. But we've been chatting about things that we think are way important.
Yeah.
But the people who are these questions think those things are way important, too. There you have it. Agendas.
Well, yeah, and perfect example, by the way. And boy, you know what? If I was in the Oval Office, which I'd never be because, you know, I'd be looking for the button.
I got there once. I was there once, walked around, you know, one of those tours when they let you go there. I've been in the Vatican, you know. I've been there, one of those tours that let you do it. They don't always do that.
No.
Anyway, go ahead.
No. You know, and I was in the Oval Office once. But if I held that chair, or if I sat behind that desk and held that position, I'd want you to be my constitutional advisor. But they'd toss me out because I'd be looking for the red button, you know, to push some people just need it. Anyway.
You know, we sent two copies to the president.
Did you?
Yes.
This president?
Yes.
Okay. Does he have a constitutional advisor? I mean, does he have somebody who says, "Hey, you know, hey Don, you can't be doing this because it ain't in the Constitution," or he doesn't?
I do not believe that exists in the federal government.
Yeah, that's Thanks. I was hoping you wouldn't say that, but.
I know. That's why I sent the book. I sent you 2 copies. I hope one of them might get in. I did, yes. I also sent 2 copies to the Library of Congress. I'm sure they are there.
Yes, yes.
But I don't care about that so much as I care about the one that should be in the Oval Office.
As well it should. And, I see so much talk right now. People are so divided. We mentioned Civil War earlier, but people are so divided. They either love President Trump or they hate President Trump. There's really little in between. And
that's all media created.
I'm going to come back to that, but you're right. But the issue is President Trump working really on behalf of the American people, or is he, as you said, he's just kind of a puppet on a string.
I don't want to give that impression that he's a puppet on the string. He is a very intelligent businessman and person. I believe that he does the things that he can do as good as he can do them. For example, he sat in a room. Now, I wasn't there. I've just read about it. Sat in a room with a bunch of ministers, several, and told them that he's going to get rid of this 501c3.
Right.
But it's a law on the books. It has to go through Congress. You can't do it any other way. And Congress shut him down.
I thought there were, okay, and correct me if I'm wrong. Are they not, I thought they weren't enforcing the 501c3 edict.
They might not be, but it's there on the books. Right. And so people who think it will be enforced are very careful.
Okay. All right. And 501c3 is the Johnson Amendment, if I'm correct on that.
Yes, that's correct. Right. Absolutely. That's what it is. Uh-huh. It's okay. The gagging of the churches so they couldn't get in his way.
All right. And the origin of that, which I find fascinating, had to do with the reelection of Lyndon Baines Johnson in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right.
You talk about agendas, man. Wow. Okay.
Yep, that was the agenda. He wanted that done. He got it done, but it came with that caveat that if you say anything bad about the government or you don't do anything the government says you to do, or if you're a pulpit, you stand there and you preach against something the government says is right, then they can jerk your 501c3 status, which means that you have to pay taxes, and every donation that comes to your church has to pay taxes.
And how many churches are muzzled now because of that? Or feel
they're all muzzled.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless they decide not to be, they're muzzled.
That's right. And
so the freedom, I have more freedom to talk about religion than the minister does.
That's insane. I mean,
that's what he wanted. He wanted to stop that, but he could not because Congress wouldn't do it. They just ditched him. We're not going to do that. That's a law. Yeah. We're not going to change it. And they didn't. I think his intention is to do everything he can for the people.
Okay.
I said a few minutes ago that he's advised by people, but he's no dummy. Okay, so he's not going to take things that are really bad, or he's not going to do things he thinks are bad. But I wouldn't have done everything he has done, but then I wouldn't have done some of the things, you know what I mean? He wouldn't do some of the things I would do. Everybody has a different thought about those kinds of things. But folks, by and large, I would say 90% of the time, everything he's done has been beneficial to us, including raising tariffs on the stuff from China.
Yes. And when you think about it, speaking of China, you know, I was blown away when I heard 96% of our penicillin or antibiotics come from China. The 80%, 85% of the components for all medication comes from either China or India. What in the hell? When did that happen? And who allowed that to happen?
When we stopped, when we get into the business of free trade, that's what caused it. We got into the business of free trade. Therefore, it was easier and less expensive to produce these things in a foreign country. And that's when it happened.
Oh. Do you think that knowing this now, that that's going to change? That, hey, wait a minute, we can't depend on communist China to do our drugs, or India to, you know, they might handle a call center or two, but for crying out loud, not our medication. Will that change?
Yes, I would think that's the case. You know, that you speak of them manufacturing men in China and India, places like that. The FDA is supposed to check all these things to make sure that they are correct, right?
Right.
They can't get over and do it. So if they go over there to inspect it to make sure that it's being done correctly, they have to warn the people they're coming before they're there. They have to be escorted around the businesses. They never have a chance to really know what's going on. Then as soon as they're not there, it'll be back to business as usual. And we depend on that?
Yeah.
Think about it. Everybody's got to have a vaccination to go to school, right? Where was the vaccination done? By our own people after much checking? No. It was done by foreigners after a little checking.
Right, which is insane. And that was the other, I don't have the paper in front of me, but that was another question about forced vaccinations, given the scenario that we're in right now.
Completely unconstitutional, and now you should run as fast as you can run if they say they're going to give you something to cure this virus. Don't stop running.
Okay.
Because there isn't one. And you don't know what's in those vaccinations. There's no ingredient list, and even if there was, you wouldn't know it's true. Government looks after itself, and the people in government or behind government want us under their control. They want to control everything we do. They want to control the size of the population. They want to control everything. So you have to wonder if things are going to be poisonous. And poisonous just means bad for you in my life. I don't mean deathly poisonous. I just mean bad for you poisonous.
Well, you know, but you look at things like the Deagle Report or the Georgia Guidestones, and you see the agenda of depopulation, the Gates Foundation.
Gates' main drive is to get rid of the people.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it blows my mind, the women for Planned Parenthood or people for Planned Parenthood, what they're doing on the, abortion or infanticide side. I mean, come on, man. That's just ridiculous. But, wow. But constitutionally though, vaccinations, constitutionally, there's nothing that would mandate, us having to accept a vaccination or even, Or they're even talking about these invisible tattoos or bracelets now. You know, it's same thing.
Yes,
tracking bracelets.
It's all to get control of us, and we are allowing it to occur because we don't stand up against it. I mean, if every parent, let's just take school A, if the parents all said, "I am not going to put that garbage poison into my child's body. I will not send my child to school." If every parent in that community going to that school did that, then nobody would show up. Then they would stop doing it.
And that's what we need to do, because we can't win on the numbers alone. I truly believe that. I like to believe in, at least here in America, our society has enough thinking, rational people who would stand up and say, you know what? No, you're not going to do this to me, my child.
Yeah. So that's how I look at the flu vaccine, by the way. You're not putting that poison. Every time they ask me at the VA, I go to the VA. You haven't had your flu vaccine. You're going to go get it? No, you're not putting that poison in my body. Okay.
I always go and tell my doctor, yeah, I got mine at the CVS. And he leaves me alone. He looks at me like, yeah, okay, right. But you know, we have this detente between us. So you're right. I mean, but you're one. So, if we all did that?
It would stop it. Yes. Stop if we all knew that the reason for these vaccinations is to make money for the big pharma companies, we would look at it askance too. I mean, it's all money. It's all money, Doug. Everything we're talking about that comes to us is because of money and control.
Exactly.
And if we just stood up for our rights and freedoms, they wouldn't have it. I should have used the wrong term. Our rights and liberties, we wouldn't have that, all this stuff being bombarded on us if we just stood up on it.
Exactly.
Why should we put all this money in the coffers of the pharmacy company, of the big pharmas, the guys making the medicine? Why should we put all that money in those places? It's terrible. What's going on? And just take an item, simple item like diabetes.
Right.
There's a massive amount of money made there.
Oh, heck yeah.
To not cure it, to keep it under control.
Right.
Now, I'm a diabetic. I take medicine for that. But it isn't going to cure me.
Oh.
It isn't. They don't give me medicine to cure me. They give me medicine to control me, so I'll come back and get more.
What a racket that is.
And that's what's going on. That's what's going on. And I just picked that one. I don't know if there's somebody out there who would write and say, I know how to get it cured. I don't know that. But I'm looking at the pharmacy guys.
Yeah.
They make money every time we go to the doctor. Every time.
I can say this. I take one prescription, one specific prescription, and the prescription itself, the price was, first of all, it was covered by my insurance, which, fine, because I've got private insurance, so it was covered by my insurance. And then all of a sudden it wasn't, and I found out it was like $500, you know, for a month's supply. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, so what do I have to do? Shell out $500. Well, I said, okay, what if I do pay for this? And then it was the very next day they said, you know what? You can't pay for it. As a matter of fact, we can't get it. This is the pharmacist now saying, and I use a family-owned pharmacy. We can't get this anymore. So, anyway, the moral of this story, what I was getting at was they pushed me to a, shall we say, an approved medication. And, an approved medication. In other words, what they approved of, the big pharma.
What does approved mean?
Yeah. So, I see where this is all going. And I'm thinking, well, you know, in this one case, this won't get cured by supplements or, you know, but nonetheless, I just mentioned that because, yeah, it's a racket that, boy, we've got, you know, we have gone so far down this hill. It's just crazy. All right. So,
and the FDA,
go ahead.
And the FDA, you mentioned supplements, and the FDA got really mad at all the supplement people not too long ago and put all kinds of rules on what the supplement guys could say or do. And if you do it wrong, they're going to take you, penalize you, fine you, put you in jail if you do the wrong things. Supplements are good things by and large. Okay, they're good things.
Yes.
And so why should people who care about our health tell us that we can't have those things? Because they don't make any money. That's why.
Amen to that.
It's all driven by money. If it does good for us, why would they say you can't take it? They would say run for it if it does good for us. And many of these do good for us.
They do. You know, I've seen a lot of benefits from the regimen I take, and I've got to say this, between that and exercise, I was able to control, not just control, but almost wipe out my type 2 diabetes, okay? You know, because I'm a diabetic too. It's amazing. You sit in the back of a van and eat pizza and cold pizza and, you know, Coke for 25 years, you know, on surveillance, you know, things happen to your body. So anyway, so yes, I get all of this. But okay, now let me kind of just switch a little bit here and ask you a question. Here we are today. It's March 19th of 2020. It seems like we're facing down the barrel of a whole boatload of restrictions that are coming. Whether it be travel restrictions, whether it be, you know, shelter in place, whether it be, whatever it might be, but certainly a curtailment of our freedoms.
Yes.
What would you do? You, Dr. Proctor, advise people if you had led a contingent of Americans out there who were listening to you, and how would you respond to what we're seeing or what we could be seeing?
If I were leading a group of people that wanted to do what I would say, okay, now that may not be a good idea to begin with, but if I were doing this in this hypothetical example, I would say prudence tells me that I should at this point stay home and not go out into big groups. Just prudence says that. This may be a hoax. This may be a full blown out thing. Prudence says be careful. just be careful. Don't go to places that you might get it. In other words, if you go to a hospital, you'll probably get the thing. Okay?
Yep.
Hospital infections are the worst problem the hospitals have. Hospital infections, they have committees, they have meetings every week. Oh, my. I was a hospital administrator for many years. Hey, hospital infections is one of the worst problems. Don't go to a hospital unless you really need to. So I looked up. Again, you're asking me what I would do. I looked up and found out that most of the problem is oxygen and high blood pressure and fever. That's what they do. They call it supportive care. That's what they do. All right, now let's see. Oxygen. Now, I'm in a little different category than everybody else, so they couldn't do this. I have an oxygen machine in my home. I have this sleep apnea, and they give me a machine.
Right.
And I can control how much oxygen, so I can give my own oxygen therapy. Other people can't do that. Okay, so if they get real bad shortness of breath, then they should go where they can get treatment.
Okay.
Now, that's a very important piece. Be prudent. But if you don't go to a place with coughing and all that kind of stuff, don't be in a group of... Well, let me use an illustration. Not too many weeks ago in our church meeting, the sound system went out. Didn't work. So the speaker just spoke from the pulpit to the group, but there was no other sound coming through. I heard all the coughing going on in that room, and I thought, how about that? I don't think I would want to be in a room full of coughing people during this period. You see what I mean?
Sure.
Be prudent. Do that which seems reasonable. Toilet paper. People are just bunching up to buy cartons and cartons and cartons of toilet paper. And I say, what? Cartons of toilet paper? Let's get pounds of flour. What's wrong with that idea?
Right.
Get flour and sugar, yeast. Make bread at least. Take care of yourself. Be prudent. Do things that are prudent for you. And if it's not prudent to get on a plane, don't do it. You don't have to have the government tell you. Don't do it. How can you decide if it's prudent or not? Well, think about it this way. It's a big cylinder stuck up in the air, and all the air going through it is circulating through everybody.
Yeah.
So it's not prudent today. It's not prudent to go on a cruise. I got stuff from a cruise line saying, hey, we'll give you an Alaskan cruise, $100. That was $199 a person, Alaskan cruise.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. That's not prudent today.
Pretty soon they'll be paying you to take a cruise.
Yes, I'm waiting for that one. That might be prudent. But you see, the point is, if you've got to be a little prudent, be careful about what you're doing. Don't ask for the government to save you. Tell the government to get out of your life. You take care of yourself. I think that happened not too long ago. Ben Carson said people should take some responsibility for themselves, and the media got so mad at him and carried on. Blah, 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 blah. You can't say that. I don't know why that's the right thing to say. Be
right.
Prudent. Take care of yourself. Now, that's what I would recommend. Now, maybe there are people that will disagree with me, and I don't mind that. I don't care if people disagree with me. I don't think I have the whole word about everything that goes on, but that's what I would say. Just be prudent.
Well, okay, so, but what about situations where, I don't know, wherever you live, you're in a town, and they say, you know what, you can't travel to... Salt Lake City to give your lecture, or to teach a class or whatever. You can't travel for whatever reason. You can't.
Did they tell me I can't? Is it the government that said I can't?
Yes.
Well, again.
Yes.
If I can get there prudently, I would go.
But what if there are guys with rifles and uniforms and blocking the road?
Then it's prudent not to go.
It's prudent not to go.
Yes, because they got guns, guy, and they use them.
But yes, of course. But I guess maybe the answer I'm looking for is how can we prevent that from even happening, or is it too late?
Again, it's not too late. Again, it's people. If the people of the city I live in Kaysville, Utah, it's a community of about 40,000 people. If the people in this, and they did the same thing that this lady in Illinois did, if the people in this city would, and I'd lead the chorus, stop it. If the people would say stop it, They would.
That's, I believe you. Because I really believe in my limited dealings with people like that, they're kind of chicken. You know, they're all, you know, Mr. Peacock, the feathers come out, when they're leading, but when you have a group of people saying, hey, we're not going to put up with this crap, you know, that kind of makes them think twice and they kind of back down. Yeah.
It takes the people to do it. We the people. That's what the Constitution starts with. We the people. It means us, you and I and everybody listening. Everybody within the borders of the United States. I don't know if it applies to illegals because they're not we the people. They just came along for the ride and everybody, the government seems to think that's okay. It's not okay. And so, but we the people, that's us. We're the citizens. We're the people of this country. We should stand up and say, stop it. When they do something that's wrong.
Amen to that. Now, okay. I don't mean I want to make sure I get the listener questions in. We had a bunch of questions about the censorship. And I know that, I suspect there's a difference between, censorship by government and censorship by private, platforms. As it applies today, I just want to tell you this. Every YouTube, including ours, every video that we produce where in the title, tag, description, or even in the conversation where coronavirus, let me pronounce it real slow for the AI, coronavirus. You can look underneath the video and it'll say, for true information, or I'm paraphrasing now, for accurate information about coronavirus, visit the CDC. Okay, that's one thing. Okay, so that's one thing.
And that's the accurate information. Huh?
Yeah, that's where we go. That's where we go. But what about the government saying, "Hey, you can't say that," or "You shouldn't say this," or the government regulating what we say? Go ahead.
It's unconstitutional. But remember, it's authority versus power. Now, the question that you the way you gave it to me was censorship by tech giants.
That's true.
Is it censorship, or does censorship only apply to government? Okay, I thought about that. I says, So I looked in the dictionary to discover what the dictionary really says about censorship. Tech giants. Well, they have a right. It's the definitions of censorship: suppression of free expression by anybody. The institution, system, or practice of censorship, which means suppression of free information. Censors permitted a very limited. No, let me say it again. Censorship permits a very limited disposition of facts. Dispersion effects. Okay, now, think about this for a moment. We have got ourselves in our own thing. Facebook didn't exist 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Didn't exist. But since everybody got on Facebook, everybody got there, and other social media, now everybody's on social media, and so the social media guys say, I don't want them talking about this, so we're going to not let them. You realize that's their prerogative. It is a free business. They are in business. They sell advertising to get you on it. So since they sell advertising to finance themselves, it's a free business. They can say that.
Okay.
And they can do that. We have got them into the position that they are looked to for advice and counsel, like Snopes.com, which started as a bunch of people around a kitchen table. But anyway, if we give these people that credit and that credibility, and they use it, and we're upset with them for using it, it's our own fault. We gave it to them. If everybody who doesn't like what Facebook is doing would get off of the thing and not use it, the advertisers would go away, and so is Facebook.
Kind of like President Trump on Twitter. Twitter shadow bans occasionally the account of at Real Donald Trump. Certainly shadow bans our messages. But if Donald Trump said, you know what, I'm going to Gab or whatever other platform is out there, I suspect Twitter might not, that might not be a good day for Twitter, as a social media platform. So this is what we all need to do, I guess, is just not play.
Yes, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Don't play. I quit. I was on Facebook for about, oh, I don't know, 3 weeks. And then I said to myself, hey, this is garbage. I quit. I don't do it anymore. Period. Now, every time I go to a website that refers to Facebook, Facebook comes back and gets in my face again. I can't quit. They won't let me. Nonetheless, I do delete my name every time that happens. I do not want any of theirs, and I don't go on any other social media either. I don't want to give them that kind of power. And they don't give me any information. I don't go on Google anymore. I go on DuckDuckGo, okay?
Right.
Because it's a competitor, and Google is beginning to violate my information. I'm not going to do that. They don't get my stuff anymore. If I go to a website and they say, oh, you can do this, and I go to it and it says, now you've got to have Google.com, I say, nope, I don't go to this. I'm not going to do this, and I turn it off right then.
Hmm.
And that's, if everybody did that, these things would fix.
And that's really what we need to do. You know, I've got a social presence on Facebook and Twitter for the show. It's not even a love hate. It's a hate relationship with them.
You have to do it. I understand that. It's your business. You have to do it.
But you know what? Maybe I don't. Maybe we don't. Because 20 years ago, we didn't have to.
Well, that's right. But you see, the market's changed. 20 years ago, nobody looked at it for a market. Now they do.
Yeah, that's true.
See, it's all money driven again. You see how that always comes back?
Doggone it.
Adam Smith's invisible hand. The invisible hand says that the people control what happens. Well, they do. But when the people, in controlling what happens, gives a weapon to the folks that they're working with, and you don't like the weapon, then stop going to that site.
Mm.
And it's the people, not an individual. If the advertisers didn't think they were getting stuff, they wouldn't do it.
Very true. You're making too much sense here. People are going to say, well, this is too academic because you're making too much sense. I mean.
And that's a fact, too. It's not complicated enough.
Exactly. And I could say some things that would really get me in trouble. But it's okay. So what we're seeing is just incredibly amazing. We're seeing an erosion of our rights today, kind of to bring this back full circle, with whatever's happening out there. And Dr. Proctor, I don't know about you, but, here's how I feel about this coronavirus, situation. There's just something not right. I don't know what it is. And there are so many people that send me so many emails saying, this is what it is. I know what it is. And they're very dogmatic about it. They're very insistent on it. And their opinions vary with every email or their speculation. But I can tell you this, whatever this is, it's got the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. It really does.
Yes. Me too. And the only way we can save ourselves is to get our legislative body in our state fixed.
When do we start?
Do
I pick you up, or are you going to pick me up? Boy, I mean, you know, seriously. We have to fix our legislatures.
Yes, we have to do that. And that's what we're not doing. We're not doing it. We vote for people based upon what they say in their bullet points on the TV. What stupid decisions. Well, you should learn about the guy. So you try to learn about the guy, the candidate. You try to do that. And all the stuff that's printed about him that's available is what he either wrote or what somebody else wrote about him. And you still don't know about the guy.
True.
So you've got to get in an organization or a place that you can have confidence in, that can put the people on the ballot that you can have confidence with. You've got to do it. And the DNR guys are not going to do it. They're not going to do anything.
And
independents can't do anything.
And thank you. I'm glad you brought that up because you had said something and I was in the conversation. I was engaged in the conversation with somebody. Our system of governance was never intended to have political parties, right?
Right. Never intended. Absolutely never intended. No parties ever, period.
So if you don't mind expanding on that, because I kind of lost that conversation with because I didn't know enough. I didn't know enough to refute that. I didn't know enough to carry my own water there in that conversation. So how did we come up with these political parties?
It's very interesting. You remember I keep talking about the shadow government. It's very interesting. Let me just go along a little scenario here. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't say that it's absolutely true, but it's a scenario that I think is true. We had some people in government that were influential, okay? And they, now we're talking about state government before the federal government was written, okay? We had people that were influential. Some of those people were very honest, and some of them were not. But people, you and I, all the folks, we have personalities and we have weak points and we like things, we like to get things for free. Okay? We do. We like to get things for free. We don't want to spend our effort and time for it. So, people that wanted control over us began to offer things that they thought we would like and want. And many of those gathered together. It turned out rural and urban. That's how it turned out. The urban people wanted some things, and the rural people wanted some things. Jefferson was the rural people. I don't remember who the guy was on the other end, but he was the urban people. And the urban people wanted him to do things for them. That began to create the parties, or that created the parties, or that put the parties in force. When those two things began. Now, there were Whigs back in the time of George Washington's time, and that was before Jefferson's election in 1800. And he knew of it, and he said, do not form political parties. And somebody says, yeah, but he was a member of one. Yeah, he was. He was a Whig. But the point is, he didn't like them, but was forced into it, however he felt he was forced into it. I don't like political parties. I want nothing to do with political parties. But I cannot run for office unless I am in a political party. That's the first question they asked me. When I went in to sign up for treasurer this year in Utah, the first question they said, what party are you with? And if I'd have said none, I'm an independent, they'd have showed me the door. But I could say Constitution Party, so therefore they allowed me to be there. Now, Washington said no parties, period. I do not know why he was a Whig. I do not know that. But I believe in his discretion. So whatever he was doing, he was trying to do it for us because that was his goal. Yep. But parties began to form, and then they took over things. Let's just look at the Constitution. How do we elect the president? There's no party there. None at all. It's statesmen selecting, it's people selecting statesmen.
Right.
And it's a very specific group of people. Representatives of the people in the state are selecting statesmen, one in the state and one out of the state. Very clear. And why do I say statesmen? Because they're not selecting somebody from the Democrat or the Republican or the Constitution or the Libertarian. They would be selecting people they thought would do a good job as president.
Okay.
They all met the same time. Every state met the same time. So they couldn't be calling each other and try to put anything together. Everybody did this kind of in secret. And then they tallied the votes and sent them in. The nominations, I like to call it nominations because we think of votes, we've perverted the word vote to something different than it was then. The word nomination fits better, but the Constitution does say vote. But anyway, they selected those individuals, and then the number of votes went to Congress, and Congress selected it through a procedure. No popularity stuff at all. No advertisements, no speeches, nothing. But that wasn't the way to control people. So they said, those guys in the back rooms that we never get to see or talk about or talk to or know what they're saying, they said, let's get these people selected. Let us select the people we think are best. Did you hear that sentence? Let us select the people we think are best. So the parties began to select the people that they thought we should vote for. We don't select we don't ever vote for president anymore. Everybody says they're going to vote for president. No, you're not. You're going to vote for someone somebody else chose, whether or not you like it. Because you don't have anybody else you can vote for. You can only vote for who someone else chose. That's what parties are all about.
So if you're a Democrat, you're going to vote for whoever the Democratic National Committee believes is the best person for that position, right?
Yes. Okay. Actually, it's the National Party, not the Democratic Convention. No, it's the National Party. Because the convention can only look at those people who the back door folks decided they could look at. It's not the convention either. It's before that.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification.
You can't listen to the debates. It's before the debates. It's before all of these things. People don't run for the office of president until they ask other people if they should.
Wait a minute. Before the debates. So are you telling me that the only people that are in the debates, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, are there because they've been chosen to be there? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. They've been chosen to be there. You cannot be on that list unless you're allowed to be on that list by a group of people.
And this,
you can be.
Okay, this group of people you're talking about, could it be the CFR? Could it be the Bilderberger? Could it be the unseen
hand? It is that. It isn't could it be. It is that. Okay. Remember, not too long ago, they wouldn't let Ron Paul in the debates.
Right.
So he went next door and did it himself. Remember?
Yes, I do remember.
They would not let him there because he was not a part of the people that the CFR wanted there.
Okay.
So that's how it's done.
And that does have a little bit of its familiarity with Donald Trump, too. You know, it was...
Donald Trump, he went against everything. He did not get vetted by these people, but he forced them to put him in these debates because he had so much popularity. He forced them in. He had more popularity than Ron Paul had.
Right. Now, yes, okay. Which is a good point. I guess, again, this shows that you speak up, you get behind. I mean, if we as a people speak up, we can change things.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
And the only reason Trump is there is because we the people spoke up, because he was not vetted. Here's another rule I would say about who to vote for. Whoever the media says they want, don't vote for him.
That's true. Yep. Yeah.
These are little clues that I go by. If the media likes him, I don't. I don't know any more than that. But if the media likes him, I don't. If the medium doesn't like him, I do.
And that's a good qualifier. And I agree, because the media in this country, and I think you'd probably agree with me, the media, and I don't care if it's MSNBC or Fox, they're all agenda driven. They all have,
yes, they are.
You know, so
they're all controlled.
They're all exactly. And, you know, with all due respect to Peter Barry-Chalka, look, I understand Fox. I get that. And I understand, and I certainly despise MSNBC, but the fact of the matter is they're agenda driven. So
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's just take the young lady called Sarah Paulin up in Alaska.
Oh, yes. I just saw her do a dance not too long ago, but okay.
Yeah, good. Anyway, so here she is. She's done outstanding in Alaska. So it comes to the people's attention.
Yep.
And the people began to say, we like him. So immediately the media chimed in to ridicule, to criticize, to point out that her kids weren't really good, to point this out, to point that out, and they blasted the place with bad things about her. So I'm talking with a young man I know, and he says, I'll keep her out. Why? Oh, she's bad. How do you know? Well, I just know. I know she's bad. How do you know? It was because the media told him she was bad.
Was it this bad? Was the media this, well, obviously not, but how bad was the media during the Founding Father days? I often wonder about that, if the media was an enemy of the founders at the time.
I do not believe that the media was an enemy of the founders, but I believe that the media was an enemy of the people by 1800.
Okay. And that's an important clarification, at least for me. It gives me kind of a starting point as to where I can start looking at the downturn.
And then it became absolutely in stone when the Illuminati CFR people bought all the editorial space in the media.
Oh, goodness. Oh. So money buys influence, obviously. We know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the influence is now, and you know, I find it interesting too, how few corporations control all of the media outlets. It's just
that's right. It's about six, isn't it?
Yeah.
About six, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Everything that we see in the media is controlled by six people, the CFOs of those, I mean, the CEOs of those organizations.
Yes, and all of them appear to have tentacles in or membership cards to the various organizations you mentioned, CFR or Bilderberg.
Yep. Yep, they do. They show up there.
Yep.
Yep, they're there.
Man, I'll tell you what.
That's what we're faced with today.
It almost seems like, I don't want to say this, but it would almost seem like a civil war. The civil war is almost necessary, and I know how bad that is and how bad that sounds, but at this point, we've lost the ability to dialogue. The ideological divide is so great. I mean, when you look at the Sanders slash, or even Biden, their ideology versus Donald Trump, there's no middle ground. I mean,
there is no middle ground. Yes.
We're kind
absolutely
of,
not. There's no middle ground.
I mean, this is really a bad situation, and I don't wish. Believe me, folks, I don't wish a civil war at all. I'm just saying that I'm looking for alternatives, and I'm not finding. I'm finding hardly any.
Yeah, I absolutely don't want one either. That's why I keep stressing: let's do something while we have elections to do it.
There you go. That's right, and that's where, you know, as we get to the close, I can't believe how quickly this time has gone. We only got about 6 minutes or so, but. That's why I believe in your intellectual product, the Constitution, if you can keep it, folks. I talk about this book. I want to tell you here as we start to close, folks, if you have a child at home, and I know you do, because the government says you do. He or she is a captive audience. Go to provisinstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box. Look, under books, get a Constitution if you can keep it. Hand it to that. In fact, get multiple copies for all of your children. And you yourself read it, but make sure your children, your students, are very familiar with this book. And I guarantee you, you're going to see a change in the way. You know what? I would say this. The government might work to – enough books go out, the government might work to keep kids out of school. Because, man, you know, we don't want this knowledge in here. But I'm extolling.
They won't let me put a book in a library.
Really?
They won't let me put a book in a school library.
Why not? I mean, I know why not, but what reason?
You know why not? So do I. Oh, they just say that's not the kind of things we want to have in our library. They literally say that. I can't get it in those places. I did have one library order. Recently, one library. That's the only one. I tried to get on a library circuit. They wouldn't stand for it. Absolutely not.
Man, that is crazy. I did not realize that. I mean, I obviously know why, but that's not right.
No, it's not. Our library censor. A person asked about censorship. We talked about it. It's a control of facts. If you can't know about them, you can't do anything about them. So what you don't know, you can't do.
Yeah, but they'll have a book in there, you know, My Little Johnny Wants to Become My Little Jane, you know, or something to that effect.
No, that's okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
If I wrote that, they'd let it in.
Well, maybe we can swap covers. Never mind. you know, it's just so ridiculous. It really is. My goodness, again, the time has just gone so fast. Folks, again, my guest, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, for crying out loud. You should be getting the book, Saving the Constitution. Read it for yourself. A constitution, if you can keep it, for your students, kids at home, and all the books. By the way, I got into your Liberty Will It Survive series, man, and my brain is twisted, you know, and twisted in a good way, because you get into everything. I mean, everything on that.
I tried hard. I didn't spend time on that. Those six volumes have over 2,300 pages. I spent time on that.
I love to read, and, I gotta tell you, I'm volume two especially. Volume two has got some, in my view, some surprises, but not surprises, but verifications. But you know what? This is knowledge, and folks, I know that we're gonna have some downtime, not by our own means, but downtime. And now is the time to grab a hold of these books. I mean that. And this is second to none. The Constitution, if you can keep it, Saving the Constitution. Final thoughts in the last couple of minutes, Dr. Proctor.
Final thought of mine?
Yes.
There's nothing more important today to our country than people learn the Constitution. There's nothing more important. Nothing more important. They've got to learn the Constitution. I don't care how you do it, but do it from a source that really teaches you the Constitution. I don't care how you get it, but be careful. You've got to have the Constitution teachings as it was written in 1787.
In 1787.
Learn the Constitution.
And this is not a living document, by the way.
No, it's not. That's the same one. It's the same one. It's it. What's written then is written now.
There it is. Yeah, and it amazes me how many people don't know the Constitution. They'll reference the Constitution, but they don't know the Constitution. And I don't think, if you look at what's going on today, folks, I think this is the most important time to really be familiar with our founding document. I really do, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Because
now's the time,
Yeah, I mean, we may not get, look, we had 9/11. 2001, and the subsequent BS from that, the loss of liberties with this coronavirus, are we going to learn from the past, or are we going to just repeat the same mistakes? And I hope we don't do the latter, because we have an antidote for that, and the antidote is Dr. Richard Proctor, who I'm very proud to have as a guest, and I'm so proud to know you. I mean, I had fun. I don't know about you. I had fun today. Did you?
Oh, I did. I enjoy. This is our third time. I enjoy them.
I look
forward to Wednesday when we can chat together.
I'm telling you, it's. I learn a lot. I learn something all the time. And here's my closing thought. I'll be damned if I'm going to be bullied around by a government that really is the epitome of incompetence. I can save myself, thank you very much, to the extent of, where we're at with this coronavirus. That's not to say I would put anyone else at risk or myself at risk. I think that we can use our sense, but, I don't know. Again, I'm looking at what's happening and I got a bad feeling. I do. But we can change that. So that's my closing thought. We can change it. Together, we can change it, right?
We can, absolutely.
All right. I'm out of time, Dr. Proctor. I'm out of time. Provis Institute.
Have a good day. We'll hold forth again next week.
Amen to that. ProvisInstitute.com. God bless you, my friend. You hang in there, and we'll talk to you again.
You take care. Bye-bye.
All right. That'll do it for me, folks. Tomorrow, Tom Horn, Steve Quayle. Make sure you gear up for that one. check HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com. Thank you so much for everyone for your support, your kind words. Did I say your support? Yes, your support. And obviously, HagmanStore.com for coffee. Want a cup of coffee? Hey, go to HagmanStore.com, gourmet coffee. And a good t-shirt and mug designed by Eric the Tech. God bless. Until next time. Hey, keep your head on a swivel.